Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Like to welcome in at this time from MLB.com. He covers the Pittsburgh Pirates on the Fan Hotline, brought to you by Armstrong Business Solutions. It's our friend Adam Berry. Adam, hello.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Great.
We're good.
All right, let's get to something not necessarily germane to last night's Pirates game or this team, really, but organizationally. So I was talking about this just a little while ago. Aquino and what he's doing in Cincinnati is unbelievable. 13 home runs, first 100 plate appearances. Did you see that happened yesterday, right? Fastest ever.
Yep.
Are the Pirates allocating? It seems like the Pirates can't find that guy in their Dominican Academy. What is the focus and the goal and the aim of the Dominican Academy? And is that one of the things that they're going to look at in the offseason and say, like, what are we doing here?
I actually think they're really happy with the work they've done over the last year or two. Obviously, it hasn't produced a lot of major league results lately. But, I mean, those guys that come in are going to be 6 or 7 years away from the big leagues when they come in. So what you're seeing now and what you have seen over the last couple of years was the result of what happened, you know, earlier this decade down in the Dominican internationally. Everyone I've spoken to in the Pirates organization, and really even people outside of the organization, seem to like Junior Vizcaino, the Pirates' new international scouting director who's been at work there for a couple of years. You know, they're seeing some results down in the Dominican Summer League with some guys they have down there. I think they have the best hitter in the league down there by OPS. They like some of the arms that they were able to get. You know, they essentially contributed no arms from the Latin American system here recently, especially as far as starting pitching goes. So, you know, it's just kind of a renewed focus on finding better athletes. I think they have a little more trust in Junior Vizcaino to maybe spend a little more on, you know, a higher paid international signing. Rene Gallo's best work was probably kind of with the diamonds in the rough, like Starling Marte, you know, not a high dollar signing. So I think they're trusting Junior Vizcaino to kind of figure things out down there so they can get more results. Because, again, that's another area that's so important, like drafting and developing international signing. They need to find stars down there, and they haven't done that really since Starling Marte.
Adam, when Neil Huntington sits down at the end of the year to have a conversation with, I don't know, maybe it's with Frank Coonerly, maybe it's with Bob Nutting, maybe it's with both of them, and they ask him, Neil, if they ask this question, show us your homegrown pitching successes. What's he going to have to point to?
Yeah, not a whole lot. I mean, Jameson Taillon, if he wasn't hurt, but he's been hurt, so you can't really hide from that. There's not a ton of them. You know, Trevor Williams wasn't homegrown, and you could argue that the success was, you know, last year, not this year. Same with Joe Musgrove. You know, Chad Kuhl's hurt. There's not a whole lot to build on. Even the bullpen guys, core of that bullpen, other than maybe Edgar Santana next season, was not drafted, developed, signed anything here. So, you know, you can point to other organizations. The success a lot of other guys are having elsewhere is the best sign that, hey, maybe they know how to develop pitchers, but they haven't had a lot of success with them in the big leagues. I mean, they need to see Mitch Keller finish strong, not like last night, to show that, hey, there's hope on the horizon, because you know, Keller's just about all they have in the system as far as potential frontline starting pitching options. I mean, Cody Bolton could be that next guy up, but he's, you know, just going to probably go back to Altoona to start next season. Quinn Priester was a first-round pick this year. He's in Morgantown now. They don't have a whole lot on the horizon. So, yeah, I don't think there's a whole lot of evidence in their favor beyond guys who have had more success elsewhere.
Follow us on Twitter at 937TheFan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram locations in North Huntington and North Hills. Okay, so you just said that Mitch Keller's kind of the one frontline guy, or at least front-end rotation guy that they do have right now. You have Musgrove, you have Brault, I guess. You'll see what happens with Archer going into next year. Is it incumbent upon this team then to hit the free agency market, and not just for some middling kind of starter, but is it incumbent upon them to try to get a name that walks through that door that people know?
Sure, but do you have any confidence in that happening? Because, I mean, I don't think that they're going to spend the money required to get that guy. I think their best avenue to get that guy is through the trade market, and I don't know if they're going to be willing to part with the prospects it would take to get somebody, unless you're going to try to get, you know, kind of a young up-and-coming, you know, somebody, not, you know, the Pirates' Mitch Keller, but some other team's Mitch Keller, by trading someone like Felipe Vasquez. But then you're setting back the bullpen, which has enough of its own questions. So there's not really a great path for them short of spending money that they've never spent in free agency to add a proven starter, not somebody like, you know, the 2012 Francisco Liriano or the, you know, mid-2015 Jay Happ. Because they do need somebody who's going to stabilize things. Ideally, you know, that guy's not going to fix everything regardless. You need the people that they have on board right now to improve, if they're going to have a chance at all to pitch well enough next season to contend. But you do need someone to stabilize things. Ideally, it would be Chris Archer coming back, but I don't think he's at the point now where you can just say Chris Archer's going to fix things because of the, you know, the work that he's done over the last year and now, you know, the additional injury question heading into the offseason. So, you know, my gut would say, yes, they do need somebody. Is that person going to be signed for what it would take in free agency to get them? I don't know, and I don't know how you can have a whole lot of confidence that that will happen.
Is it realistic at all to expect that if the Dodgers, we'll use the Dodgers as the example here because that's the team we talked about, and that's the team where Kenley Jansen blew another save last night, that if the Dodgers re-engaged with the Pirates over Felipe Vasquez this offseason, Neil Huntington would actively, or whoever the GM may be, would actively engage in that conversation? Or are they so legitimately invested in next year being a year where they think they can compete that they're back to square one of, no, we're not dealing Vasquez?
No, the fact that they listened and the fact that they were willing to engage the trade deadline tells you that they'll be willing to listen and willing to engage in the offseason. That's just the way things, that's the way things work with this team. Once, you know, somebody becomes quote-unquote tradable, they're going to be tradable. I don't think there's necessarily a deadline that you pass where, okay, now he's back. Especially if it's a team like the Dodgers, all of a sudden if they become willing to include a Dustin May, which they were not at the trade deadline, maybe it becomes something that you consider, you know, along with maybe a position player who can make an impact or a Keibert Ruiz who could, you know, kind of two birds, one stone, help you out behind the plate as well. I don't think you're going to say that they just won't trade him because they didn't trade him at the deadline. I think you can still say that they would trade him if they get the right offer, you know, with that young talent that's going to impact you in several different ways, because it would be a significant setback in the bullpen to not have Felipe, because right now he's basically the only sure thing. But since you did mention the Dodgers, Chris, did you see who closed out the game for him last night?
Oh, we were talking about that today. Yes, sir.
Former Bucko Casey Sadler.
That's
just
right.
Just like we all predicted, a former Pirate closing out games for the Dodgers down the stretch.
Two strikeouts, too, in that 10th inning.
I'm actually really happy for him. Casey Sadler's a good dude who went through a lot. He's been demoted 10 times this year, so it's neat to see.
Okay. So, and by the way, you talk about May. He's got to, number one, get a haircut, and two, do without that pre-pitch routine where he does a squat. It's all very weird to me.
I'm in no position to comment on someone getting a haircut, Colin.
Neither am I, come to think of it. There has to be some levity to this when you talk about the Pirates. Back to not necessarily Aquino, but this folds into all of this. You know, the Pirates always say we worry about ourselves. But when you look at the National League Central that is down this year, Aquino jumps into Cincinnati. And now you have St. Louis, Chicago, Milwaukee, and seemingly Cincinnati's going to get no worse. Is there a worry that the rest of the division is making a tangible effort to get better?
I don't know if there's enough of a worry about that on the Pirates front as far as evaluating their window. I mean, it is a down year this year, relatively speaking, for the division. And, you know, if they had pushed all in the offseason, maybe they would have had a better chance to, you know, make a run in July and not fallen off. Like they did coming out of the break, and then maybe you're talking about a different picture at the trade deadline and all that kind of stuff. But you're right. I mean, the Cubs are going to bring most of these guys back next season. The Cardinals' young pitching has looked outstanding here recently, and they're still going to have Goldschmidt back next year. You know, the Cardinals always tend to find a way in player development. So, you know, the Brewers, they're all in effort, you know, again, kind of coming back to counter my own point, has fallen a little short this year. You know, their pitching has faltered. Their Yasmani Grandal signing hasn't necessarily fixed the lineup. They have questions. The Reds, though, they have Trevor Bauer, they have Aquino, they have, you know, Joey Votto coming back. They have some interesting young players, Nick Senzel, and a pretty decent starting rotation. Even if things go right for the Pirates, they turn this, you know, projected 82, 83, 84 win team, hit on everything, are they still winning the division? Are they going to find a wild card spot next season? I don't necessarily know. And that's where the argument from so many people in the industry comes, that maybe it's, you know, time to actually rebuild and, you know, not kind of do this half measures of, all right, you know, trying to win in 2020, but also trying to win in 2024. You know, maybe pull back in 2020 so you have a better chance in 2023 when maybe the window is a little bit more open.
to go from 50,000 foot view, Adam, to now something more granular and specific to last night's game. The last time I tried asking Clint Hurdle about a double switch, he fairly jumped down my throat, so I'll ask you to answer the question instead. Why double switch Brian Reynolds out in the fourth inning? Or the bottom of the fifth, as it were.
Yeah, I was going to tell you to stop mid-question.
Thank there, you.
Chris, just to give you a little throwback.
Yeah,
see how it
appreciate
like.
That.
I mean, it's funny that we get freshly outraged about this stuff every time it happens. That's basically the way Clint Hurdle does his double switching when he's going to bring in a long guy. It's always for the last guy who hit. So, you know, you can get the pitcher through the most times without having to bat. You know, he did it for Andrew McCutchen, and, you know, PNC Park damn near burned down a couple years ago when it happened, based on the outrage off of that. Mm-hmm. The issue last night is more just that, you know, Ramirez is going to pitch four innings, so he's going to have to bat at some point anyway. What's the difference between him batting seventh and batting ninth when his turn comes up if you're going to stick with him through the rest of the game? For good reason, that game was out of hand. You don't want to burn a reliever on a game that's, you know, well out of hand at that point anyway. So I understand the theory, especially if you're just trying to get a pitcher one time through the order in a game that's relatively close. You know, you don't want to have to, you know, burn the extra batter. You don't want to have to burn the extra pitcher. But in a game like last night, I don't necessarily understand the point of bringing out Brian Reynolds when, you know Ramirez is going to have to hit regardless of where he is in the lineup. So I'm with you on this one. But in general, that is the way the Clint Hurdle does double switches. The last guy who hits is going to be the one who goes out for the pitcher so the pitcher can bat ninth next turn through.
There's also the part about it being August 28th, being 56 and 77, and letting the leader of the league continue to hit in a baseball game.
Right. There's definitely that part of it. And, I mean, you know, they'll say at this point Reynolds has played a lot, and, you know, he's never played in September, so maybe you want to get him off his feet when you can. But Reynolds is one of the few good things they have going right now, I think, from a – satisfying fans and entertainment standpoint. It's good to see him play. It's good to see Marte play. It's good to see Bell play. You know, double switching him out so Jeffrey Ramirez can bat ninth instead of seventh is just sort of, you know, kind of a forest and a tree situation.
Last thing, 10 seconds left. 6 o'clock start or whatever. I love it. See if you can talk the Pirates brass into doing a few of those next year, because that really that moved my timeline up just enough that it didn't affect my whole day, but enough that my bedtime was a little earlier. Loved it.
As a reporter covering it, I was a big fan too, just not so much on getaway day, and I don't think the Pirates quite cared for that part of it either, heading west to Denver.
All right. Well, they're going to hate even more when they go west to San Francisco after a regular Sunday game and play a Monday in San Francisco coming up soon.
Well, we'll see. I think it was, last year that Clay Holmes started at San Francisco as a result of similar travel, so we'll see where this one takes.
Send him early. All right, we'll see you.
Take care, guys.
Yep, we'll see you. Adam, love him. Such a good guy. He's on our wavelength with a lot of stuff.
He really is.
Yeah. He'll bite back every once in a while and get you, though.
Yeah,
it's a good hair comment. Who are me and him to talk about anybody's hair?
I'm not far behind you.
Right. It's a very good, very good thought there.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.